True Spirituality, Meditations, My Meditations on the book by Dr. Francis Schaeffer. He said that the question before us is what the Christian life, referring to true spirituality, really is, and how it may be lived in a 20th century and even now in our 21st century setting. We've been looking at freedom from the bondage of sin and then freedom from the results of the bonds of sin. The freedom from the bondage of sin is salvation, and the freedom from the results of the bonds of sin is sanctification, becoming holy, clearing the sin refuge from our lives. So far, we've covered the freedom from the bondage of sin, the basic considerations of biblical unity and true spirituality, and the daily practice being the fruitful bride. Then secondly, the freedom from the result of the bonds of sin. We saw freedom from conscience, avoiding the two wrong concepts and embracing God's plan to conquer the effects of sin. And then the part we're in now, freedom for our thought life. We went over the concept and importance of thought life, the substantial healing of psychological problems, and dealing with that, the broken man, what sin does to us, the search for being, the idea of man coming to grips with who he is, and then the substantial healing of the total person. Then we're looking now at dealing with the promise of substantial. We saw last time that substantial doesn't mean perfection. Sometimes God seems to wipe away consequences of sin at the time of salvation. Other times, people struggle with these things for a long time. So last time we were saying that we ought not to overestimate what can be done. You're having difficulties in the way you think, in the way you relate. Even as a Christian, you're not perfect yet. And you can get all upset. You can say, well, if it doesn't all go away, then I'm not happy about it. Tonight we want to say, on the other hand, do not stop short of all that God can and will do in healing your brokenness. That's the other side of things. I don't want to go ahead if it's not going to be complete. Well, just keep making it more and more complete, but just don't stop short. Don't use any excuse of the devil, to stop your process of growing in the Lord. One of the things that is necessary to do this in today's society is reject the world's interpretation of psychology that makes man another animal. This is the way evolution tells us. Man is an animal. And we find that some of the techniques used, some of the psychological healing, is not solving sin's brokenness, but as mere conditioned reflex. So what, you might ask, is conditioned reflex? Well, Pavlov's bell. On the website Simply Psychology, we read this. Pavlov, 1902, started from the idea that there were some things that a dog does not need to learn. Good place to start, I always say. Some things dogs don't need to learn. For example, dogs don't learn to salivate when they see food. The body prepares for the eating by juicing up the mouth. This reflex is hardwired into the dog. In behaviorist terms, it is an unconditioned response. That is, a stimulus-response connection that requires no learning. Happens automatically. In behaviorist terms, we write unconditioned stimulus, in this case, food, to the dog. The carrot there says, turns into unconditioned response, salivate. It goes on to say, Pavlov showed the existence of the unconditioned response by presenting a dog with a bowl of food and measuring its salivary secretions. And you thought science was a glamorous job. It's measuring dog spit. We got some more, doctor. Okay. However, when Pavlov discovered that any object or event which the dogs learnt to associate with food, such as the lab assistant who was bringing the food, that would trigger the same response. The lab assistant would come up to the cage, and the dogs would start salivating, and he didn't have any food with him. So he made him recognize, he realized that he had made an important scientific discovery. Accordingly, he devoted the rest of his career to studying this type of learning. In his experiment, then, Pavlov used a bell as his neutral stimulus. A human being wouldn't necessarily be neutral because you might expect certain things from the human who's coming to your cage. So he had it mechanized. The bell would ring and food would appear in the cage. Whenever he gave food to his dogs, he also rang a bell. After a number of repeats of this procedure, he tried the bell on its own, no food. As you might expect, the bell on its own now caused an increase in salivation. So the dog had learned an association between the bell and the food, and a new behavior had been learned. Because this response was learned, or conditioned, it is called a conditioned response. Unconditioned, you didn't have to teach it. Conditioned, you do. The neutral stimulus has become a conditioned stimulus. So, they take that same concept in training you to do better. And sometimes, they call it the carrot or the stick, you know, the carrot to lead you on, or the stick to beat you, and to give you progress, lead you on, or pain or pleasure to lead you to the place that you that he says you need to go. This is treating the human being as an animal, just treating the behavior. You, mankind, are made in the image of God. So you, unlike the animals, are rational and moral. And if these things aren't taken into consideration, this is just a false concept, a false treatment. Therefore, you need to be consistent in life, that is, have a rational way of life, and be responsible in behavior, because God demands, has hardwired within you, a conscience that says that certain things are right or wrong. And you then need to be responsible in your behavior. So the psychologist and the psychiatrist are not interested in either being rational or moral. In fact, they don't want you thinking of this as morality, because that colors these things. They want you to make progress and just be conditioned to do it. So let's analyze to conclude here. Basic psychological problems are founded on two mistakes. At the very heart of it, two mistakes. One, we try to be what we are not. This is where we imagine we are something we're not. We imagine we are more godlike than creature-like, you see? That nothing can stop us. One of the video channels of music that I like to listen to without listening to it, just have it in the background, it runs a series of really dumb, thought-provoking statements from the Dalai Lama and might be some other llama animals in there. They're pretty much, they just come right out of the old yay raw motivational sales pitch stuff. You can do anything you really try to do. The only thing stopping you is you, all this kind of stuff. So tell the guy that wants to run through the brick wall, the only thing stopping you is you. Splat, splat, splat. No, it's the brick wall. Talking to a group of African Americans, black people, and they were complaining that various jobs they were being held back from it. And I said, I know what you mean. My son feels the same way. He wanted to be a NBA All Star, but they said he was too short. So, there are certain things that just don't happen because you're not built like that. That might be mentally, it might be physically. But the one psychological problem is you're trying to be what you are not. This will cause psychological problems. Second, two, we try to carry what we cannot bear. Dr. Schaefer gave one illustration. I came up with another one to illustrate the first one here. You meet Supergirl on the roof of the Sears Tower, which is now I discovered is called the Willis Tower in Chicago. Supergirl's on the one side, the tower's on the other, in case you couldn't tell. So while you meet her there, she invites you to fly with her to the next rooftop. You agree. Let's do that. The roof is 1,450 feet above the sidewalk. You fall and are squashed. Why? You are not her. You are trying to be what you're not. I'm not saying this is a likely scenario. I'm just saying here's the illustration. You're trying to be what you're not. Second illustration. You meet Atlas carrying the planet Earth. I don't know where you're walking, where he's carrying the Earth and you're walking beside him. I don't know where that place is. But he tells you that he needs a cool drink, and you're looking at the whole Earth that he's holding, and you're saying, I can imagine. He asks you to hold his burden for a moment. You agree. The Earth weighs approximately 13 plus septillion pounds. You are squashed. That burden is too great for you. You are trying to carry what you cannot bear. Now, psychologically, this is the way this thing works, you see. Pretending to be, in your imagination, in your determination, something that you're not, or taking on yourself things that you were never meant to bear, causes you to be a failure in doing what's impossible. When you refuse to acknowledge that you are finite man living in this present evil age, you will be squashed. Now here's another illustration that's pretty good. Too much air in a weak tire will cause an explosion. Somebody actually had a picture of this on Google Images. Tire exploding. Now, analyze this with me. While the pressure causes the break, the weak place in the tire is the spot of breaking. So you're taking a pressure on you, trying to be what you're not, trying to carry what you can't. It's the pressure that will break you. However, you will give at the weak spot. Now, your breakdown may be physical because mentally you do too much, you endure too much stress, you carry too heavy a load for too long a time. This may be two or three jobs or whatever the whole situation is. Your breakdown may be psychological. You have too great of expectations for your finite mind, will, and emotions. Now, these expectations might be what you have given yourself, Very often they have been adopted by you, but put on you by someone else. Overeager parents, the stage mom that says you can be a star, whatever situation. See. Maybe a boss who says you can always do more, whatever it is. But you have accepted that, trying to be what you're not, trying to carry what you can't carry. Now, Christianity offers healing. And, in fact, you cannot expect true healing outside Christian teaching and belief. As we've seen, just treating you as an animal works for animals, but you're not merely an animal. Christianity answers your needs, both theoretically, that is, in the philosophy of it, and practically. You can actually live with this. The psychology gives you an answer that you can't live with. Christianity gives you an answer that you can live with. So, when you accept a real creator-creation relationship, you find your true place in the universe. You can be what you are. You can be a real you. You don't have to be a pretend you. You don't have to keep putting on that mask every morning before you face people. See? He's the creator, I'm not. I'm the creature. That's where I am in this universe. When you accept a real redeemer-redeemed relationship, you find your true moral path in life, and you can carry that. That's an acceptable burden of responsibility. When that happens, your brokenness is healed. Center yourself then under God as a created being that can only act and move within His realm, and center yourself in the Redeemer-redeemed relationship, as we were singing Christ Coming and Christ's Salvation. Recognize that He is making you better. And in this, your brokenness, which actually happened because of sin, is healed. Now, we need to add into this that sometimes what people say, in a perfect world, this wouldn't have happened, is the result of obvious bad choices by others. And not a perfect world, but it is a world where God has said, I'm going to give you your choice in these things. You have to pay the consequences for your choice. You can't choose your consequences, but you can choose your path. And Dave doing a bad thing might affect you, see. Probably would, in fact. But that's the thing. Look at me smiling. He's planning something, isn't he? Okay.
He keeps forgetting things.
We often receive the shrapnel from the explosion of people's bad experiences. However, not even that is beyond our ability to deal with, because God has guided anything that happened to us. He has guided that. So one of the things that I may need at a certain point would be the last thing I would choose, and that is to be in pain, to suffer loss, to be put in a hospital bed. I wouldn't choose that, but maybe the best thing for me at that point is something of the shrapnel of the explosion of a man's bad experience. Maybe that'll put me in a place where I can be a witness, where I wouldn't have been before. It may be that I will see God's work in a way I haven't before. Maybe I was depending too much on what I had before I lost it, instead of depending on Him. So we can recognize God is crafting our trials every day to bring about, to mold our character into the various qualities that he sees we need. So in the perfect world, if you translate perfect as giving me no problems, maybe that would be true. But in a world with God running it, even then, there will be some difficulties. So, because that's built into the human condition. All right.